I think we need to really give a lot of thought to the religious education of the coming generation.
Given you're a scholar and somebody who chose the Ismaili faith, I feel you're in a position to give an insightful answer to the question, what does it mean to be, quote, a knowledgeable Ismaili? What I mean by this is that there are generally two basic areas of knowledge related to our faith. One is the history of the Ismailis, Islam, something that could be taught in really in any history or social studies classroom. And the other is tariqa or Ismaili-specific knowledge, that is, our tenets, beliefs, practices, theology, etc. In the past, just to give an example, in the past, such as in the Fatimid times, the Jamaat would get deep tariqa-specific knowledge from the da'is, or later in the Indian subcontinent, for example, from the peers, kinans, or in other devotional music. Today, because of the work of many scholars, such as at the Institute of Ismaili Studies, we generally have solid academic knowledge of our history, which is obviously critical. But what I'm getting here at is that, but if a definition of a, quote, knowledgeable Ismaili also includes a deep understanding of the tariqa, of tariqa-specific knowledge, how do you feel the Jamaat's increasing reliance on academic knowledge without a correspondingly deep tariqa knowledge base would affect our emotional and spiritual attachment to our faith?
I think our Jamaat is in a, especially the Jamaat in the West, is at a very critical period in history right now, where we have an older generation who has come from deeply religious countries like Pakistan or India, mm-hmm. who were very well versed in that sort of tariqa knowledge that you mentioned, even beyond that, in a sort of broader knowledge and culture of Islam. Mm-hmm. But who don't necessarily have the sort of academic background, the sort of academic knowledge that you describe. And now we have children, a younger generation growing up here in the West who don't have the benefit of that exposure to the broader Islamic environment that growing up in a place like Pakistan, for example, adheres. And I think we need to really give a lot of thought to the religious education of the coming generation. And one of the things I would emphasize here is I think we need to give more thought especially to how we utilize academic knowledge of Ismailism, of Islam more generally. Certainly the work of the IIS and publishing these texts and bringing these sort of studies to light is critical. And mm-hmm. it has allowed us to reconstruct entire periods of our history, of our literary history that were simply unknown
exactly.
to earlier generations. Right. But what I fear sometimes is that we are not equipping our young people with the proper tools to really understand and contextualize these studies. That if you want to take an academic approach to religion, to Ismailism, you can't just simply read books about Ismailism. You can't just simply read the core texts of Ismailism or of Islam. What you really need is a deeper understanding, I think, of religion itself. If you're going to engage in that academic study of religion, then you need to approach religious studies in a broader sense, beyond simply reading books about Ismailism. And even beyond that, I would say that we really need to engage our young people in a deeper study of the social sciences, of the humanities, to appreciate that religion is a social institution. And I think this is where a lot of young people today that I have seen really come to a point of frustration in dealing with religion, because there is a perception, I think, that because God is perfect, that therefore religion mm-hmm. must be perfect. And I think this reflects a misunderstanding, that the religion is not the thing itself. The religion is not divinity itself. Religion is a human institution that mediates right. that relationship for us, that helps us to come together as a social community and to develop that relationship with the divinity. And because it's a human institution, it will be flawed and it will change over time. And our judgment of its leaders, of the choices and decisions made by the institutions will change over time. And I think one of the things I have seen oftentimes with young people is that they have been raised with this more kind of traditional understanding of religion, of the tariqa, and then have an exposure to the academic study, but aren't really given the proper tools to contextualize, to understand what they're reading, and suddenly find that there are flaws, that there are things that people in the past did that may not reflect our present-day morality, that, you know, that may not have...
Of course, right.
And for many young people, I think this becomes a point of confusion and may lead to them deciding that, well, religion must be false then, or at least not something that is not something for me, because it's not perfect. And I think we need to challenge that expectation that religion is always going to be perfect, that it will always reflect that sort of perfect divine understanding. And this is where studying social sciences like history, like anthropology, philosophy, literature, can provide that deep contextualized understanding of how human society works. And if we understand better how human society works, of how human history works, then we can understand better how religions, how religious institutions, how Ismailism has worked throughout history. So this is really where I see the benefit of studying Ismaili history, but studying it within the context of a broader appreciation of history. And one of the things I fear for in our Jamaat is that so many of our young people are being really encouraged to study, you know, the STEM sciences, to study mathematics, engineering, accounting, right, finance. And this is, of course, very common with a lot of predominantly immigrant communities in the West. But this alone is not sufficient. You can't just simply study engineering and then read a couple books about Ismailism on top of that. You need to have the liberal arts there, the humanities, the social sciences, that will help you, first of all, to take a more human-centered approach to your own work as an engineer, as a doctor, as an accountant, what have you. But then also help you to really contextualize and understand our own literary history, our own history of our Jamaat, of our tariqa. And so moving forward, I think this is what, to answer your original question, I think this is what it will really mean to become a knowledgeable Ismaili. It's not someone who simply knows Ismailism well, but who knows human society well and who can appreciate the way in which the tariqa has functioned within different human societies at different times and how it has responded to those different needs in time and how that is reflected in the position of our tariqa today.
No, I think that's absolutely critical. What I want to go off of is you mentioned in your answer that there's sometimes a misunderstanding of both academic knowledge and then how that applies with tariqa-specific knowledge. How can the Jamaat, and in your case you mentioned the youth, find this appreciation for academic knowledge, but then also tap into this deeper tariqa-specific knowledge and find that balance, and how can they tap into both effectively?
I think really one of the greatest resources we have in our Jamaat today is our older generation, the people who know these stories, who know the Ganans, who know these...
some of these lessons.
Exactly.
Right.
And I think, again, with the very strong emphasis on the academic knowledge, on the work that institutions like the IIS are producing, I worry sometimes that those other forms of knowledge are discounted or are seen as somehow in conflict with that.
Or it's sometimes also almost not as relevant or competent.
Exactly. And so I would really like to see opportunities given where young people, other people can bring those types of knowledge together, can really appreciate the very deeply embedded organic knowledge that our older generation has, and then be able to fill in some of those gaps with the academic knowledge that is being produced elsewhere. And it's a challenge. It's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I want to talk about your specific case. I'm assuming you sought and found that deep tariqah-specific knowledge in some form that led to you becoming an Ismaili. Because otherwise, it would be surprising to learn you chose to become an Ismaili purely from our history. Mm-hmm. In that sense, and I'm going to be bold here, you are what I might call an example of a, quote, knowledgeable Ismaili. Having good, and I use good as a general word, grounding of both historical and tariqah knowledge. In contrast, for those who are born into our faith, religious or spiritual knowledge is sometimes taken as a given, without really any depth, reflection, or insight. In particular, I think it seems to me that we need this deep tariqah knowledge grounded both in intellectual foundations, which I think our youth crave, and that resonate, and here I think this is another key, that resonates with today's skeptical, materialistic mindset. So now, just to give an example, philosophical ideas such as the universal soul, which were fashionable in the past when like Neoplatonism was in vogue, may not resonate with most of them today, especially in language. And while the Ginans and other devotional music offer tariqah knowledge, it is generally today taken as an emotional expression of our faith. So what do you think can be done about this?
I think the answer here is, to borrow a corporate term, human capital. One of the things I think we really need to focus on within the Jamaat is to develop people, individuals, who can serve as a sort of intermediary between the academic study and the Jamaat, and who can really synthesize together this older, deeper tariqah knowledge that you mentioned, and the academic study as well. And people who, again, who also have a deeper appreciation of human society, of the social sciences, and are able to weave those together in a way that will help speak to the young people, that really help them to be able to address their questions that may not come, for which answers may not come directly from the academic literature. For me, that person was my wife. My wife, Zora, who is a lifelong student of anthropology, and I think in many ways reflects the type of individual that I'm talking about here, someone who has this very deep level of tariqah knowledge, but also, you know, has this academic grounding in the study of anthropology and the study of human society, and is able to bring those together. And in many ways, you know, as I was going through the process of learning about Ismailism, you know, I had read all the books. I knew a lot about the history. I always have new things to learn, but I felt like I had a pretty solid grounding in the academic study of it. But really understanding how the community operates in today's society, I think, is something that she was able to really help me to understand. I know that she's helped a lot of other young people to understand. And I think we need more of those type of people out there who can really bring together different fields of knowledge in the same way that our da'is of the past did. You know, if you look again, I've done some research in the figure of Nasr Khusro, other da'is like him who have brought together not only a study of Ismaili doctrine, but more broadly of literature, of poetry, and, you know, are able to present that knowledge in different ways to different audiences that really conveys it to them. So I think having the books, the publications is critical. That's there. Right. I think what we really need to be focusing more is on developing the human capital. And a lot of ways I think we can do this, again, is I would speak to the parents, to the older generation here, is that, you know, when our young people are studying in college, in university, We should not be pressuring them only to focus on fields that will make money. You know, that we need to allow them space to also study the humanities. It doesn't mean they necessarily need to major in it, but, you know, give them some space to take some classes in anthropology, to take some courses in Islamic history. Because that is what is really going to help them, again, to contextualize all these different forms of knowledge And then people like them can then go on to serve as Wazin and other positions within the Jamaat and help explain these type of concepts to the next generation. I think that's really the critical challenge for our Jamaat moving forward.
You mentioned your wife, Zahra, but I want to talk on the other side of resources, of things you found helpful when you were becoming an Ismaili or when you were in that process. I find that some of these resources would be really helpful for those in the community looking to enhance their own conviction and understanding of the faith. Could you comment on what resources you found helpful? And now, after many years as an Ismaili, almost a decade, would you suggest any additional resources? I'm thinking here of, just to be more clear, I'm thinking here of gaining knowledge and developing an emotional basis.
You know, it's a little bit tricky to answer that question for me because in some ways, I think I am an abnormal case of those who come into the Jamaat. Again, because I had the privilege of partaking of an academic study of the faith before I came into it personally. So what may have been appealing to me may not necessarily have had the same effect for others. But again, I would say really the most important resource that I encountered during my time of learning about Ismailism and today as well is people. You know, just really sitting down with people who could help me to understand the human side of this and to really help me to understand how the community functioned. You know, I think this is also one of the challenges.
What kind of people?
You know, within my wife's family, other Ismailis I had met, you know, through academic conferences, for example. You know, I had a long conversation with Shafiq Virani, for example, at a conference while I was still going through the process. And for me, it's one thing to be able to read a book about something, but to actually be able to sit down with someone and to really appreciate how there's such a diversity of ways of engaging with the faith.
Right.
You know, even within, you know, let's say, for example, the Houston Jamaat here. I mean, you go to Jamaat Tana, you ask 100 people there what the faith means to them.
Yeah.
You'll receive 100 different answers.
Right, of course.
And when you study history, you see that there's an even wider diversity of ways of engaging with the Tariqa there. And this is one of the things I think I had initially concerned me, was that, you know, coming into a faith, you know, there are ways of doing things, there are ways of seeing, ways of thinking about religion that might be particular to that tradition. And, you know, I was wondering how much freedom I would have to really explore my own emotional, intellectual engagement with that. And just hearing different stories of different people, I think really, it really helped me to understand that, you know, I can really carve my own path here in a way. And, you know, just reading about the more public work of the AKDN, of the various Jamaati institutions, I think was something that, again, really gave me an opportunity to understand how the intellectual imperatives were being reflected in the work within the world. And it really led me to reflect on a saying from Jesus that in the Bible, that you may know a tree by its fruit, and really seeing the work of the Jamaat, of the community, the work of the Imam within the world, I think really speaks to the inner quality of the Tariqa and the way that it's manifested. So to me, these were all parts of the equation that had come together.